Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions. And this week, we're going to continue in the discussion I had with the ministry, the Bucket Ministry. I was so intrigued by their ministry, we couldn't get it all in one of our shows, so we held them over. This is the rest of the story. And Nathan, the rest of the story is awesome because what started out as just a desire and what started out as something that they observed became something that would change lives. Last week, we introduced John chapter 4, where the woman who came to the well, and she was just doing her everyday routine thing. But on this everyday routine trip to the well, she met the Lord Jesus Christ. And he told her, "I know you're going to draw from this well." He said, "If you knew who was asking you and what I offered, you would ask for me for a drink." And she said, "How can that be? You don't even have a bucket to let down in the well." And he began to tell her about the living water. And that is he, isn't it? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. What a picture that is, and what an opportunity it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Water, or the well to draw water from, became a place of ministry, became a platform to hear good news, to see her life changed. And when we speak about her, the woman, first of all, she was a woman speaking to a man. She was a Samaritan speaking with a Jewish man. It was cross-cultural, and water was used to break down barriers. She had a need of water, obviously, like we all do, but she had deeper needs in her life that Jesus was exposing and ready to fill and meet those needs as well. Jesus said to her, you know, when she mentioned, "Hey, you don't even have a bucket." And Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water," speaking of the physical water in the well, the H2O, "everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
Hallelujah. What a combination. And I guess that's the reason I held the Bucket Ministry over for two interviews, Nathan, was what a combination, providing water and providing a way to the one who gives the living water. That's why those ministries are so valuable, aren't they?
Yeah, it really is. So what are we asking? Well, how about this? Every time we take a sip of water, pray for those who don't have access to clean water, but also pray that those who don't have access to the living water, and pray for the Bucket Ministry and other ministries like it that find a way to combine the two, the good news of Jesus, the living water, the eternal life that will never run dry.
Amen. Listen to this interview, and I believe you'll see that God indeed could use you in providing what the world needs. This weekend on Exploring Missions, we have guests that are returning. We started the interview last week, but we discovered we had more questions and more time, so that we want you to know about the Bucket Ministry and the possibility of those who are listening joining them, and they'll let you know more about that. But also, it may be if you go back and you didn't hear last week's interview, you can go to our podcast and listen to it and see how it started and see how Christopher Beth heard God speak to his heart deep in the heart of an Amazon jungle. And so we wanted to continue this today. And it's Christopher Beth, Matt Arnett with the Bucket Ministry. Thank you guys for being with us again in part two.
Thank you so much, Bert. Thank you, Barry.
Okay, we left off with the work that is done there in the indigenous peoples that need this water. Clean water around the world in many places is a crisis issue, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, the World Health Organization cites that 785 million people around the world lack access to something that I know for me, I've taken for granted most of my life, and that's clean, safe drinking water. To put that in perspective, there's 331 million people in the United States. So more than twice the population of the United States doesn't know where their next glass of clean, safe drinking water is going to come from. So this is a great big problem. And I never knew it was quite as large until we started working in this area.
Well, when you find this out, what a combination. Clean water and the gospel. And I know you guys have to use, and we mentioned it last week, John chapter 4, Jesus used that so much. And then in the Old Testament, do you remember what they did, Isaac? Pee with big wells. And when the enemy, what they would try to do is come and fill up those wells. And then even they would go and clean them back up. Water is so essential. And so this idea, this ministry is one that I know God spoke to Chris's heart, got Matt on board, and now together they're bringing clean water and the gospel to indigenous people. But also, I noticed something about the kids' club. Is the kids' club just over in others, or is it something we could do here? Tell us about the kids' club that the Bucket Ministry is a part of. Tell us a bit about the kids' club, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Bert. So, yes, the Kids Club program that we have started in the places where we distribute filters and where we serve, we realized that there was a need and an opportunity to not just impact the adults, but also reinforce the filter cleaning strategies, as well as sharing the gospel and discipleship with the children and homes there. But one of the things that's been really incredible about this ministry is the opportunity that we've found in the United States to engage with families, with churches, through our Kids Club program in the U.S. And so primarily through VBS meetings, we work with homeschool co-ops, we work with churches, we work with all sorts of different programs to bring our Kids Club program to the United States, where we're looking to partner with families, with churches, in discipleship of children. And so we love this missional aspect of this show and what you guys are getting to, because we share a heart in that. And the philosophy that we have behind engaging children, whether that be in the United States or around the world, is that we want to not just do ministry to kids, but see ministry and see mission happening through our children. And so we work to engage with churches and ministries, providing a relationship where we're able to expose kids to the need for mission, for ministry that's happening around the world. We're able to equip them with tools for sharing the gospel and ways of seeing the gospel that maybe they haven't seen before. We encourage families to participate in mission, not just as the parents giving or going, but the entire family having a family discipleship mentality. And then ultimately what we want to do is we want to send out these kids to be on mission, whether that's going to the places that we serve around the world or on their soccer team or their dance club, where they're able to share how God has uniquely equipped and wired them to be a light in their world.
Amen. Children were important to Jesus when you look in the Bucket Ministry, and Chris, your daughter being an instrument that God used to bring you to this awareness that you have, this burden that you had to bring clean water and the gospel to individuals, what a combination. You bet Kids Club really fits. Well, there's something that I see on the outline that I was looking at that I was really interested in, and this is what Nathan and I talk about, because this is what they did even in Clarkston, Georgia. It's called Mission Mapping. Tell us a little bit about that. How does mission mapping work with the Bucket Ministry?
Well, and that's a great question, Bert. So we wanted to have a process by which we could share with all the people that are helping support this work exactly where their money is going and how it's being used. So we needed an internal process to be able to show them what's happening thousands of miles away in a variety of countries through a variety of missionaries in a variety of campaigns. So we sought for years technology to be able to do this that was simple enough, easy enough, but could be rolled out to missionaries where English was not their primary language. So we found a technology called GIS, Global Information Services, which uses mapping, digital mapping, and data collection. And we embrace this technology, and we call it mission mapping. So more or less, what happens with mission mapping is every time we distribute a filter, there's a barcode, a unique barcode on that filter. And at the point of distribution, our missionaries that are carrying a smartphone scan that barcode and put a GPS pinpoint where that filter has been distributed. And then they collect baseline data from the recipient, data that speaks to their spiritual condition and their physical health condition. And then we drop that GPS pinpoint in that location. And then every time the missionaries go back for a follow-up visit, they scan the barcode on the filter again, and they collect updated information from the family. So at any point, we can produce essentially a report card that talks about, are people getting healthier physically, and are they growing closer to Christ in the process of these follow-up visitations?
Amen.
And at the same time, what that does is it gives us a platform, a monitoring and evaluation platform that we can look at for accountability reasons, where our missionaries are working, what they're teaching, in what language they are teaching, and how much time they're spending in the home. So while we originally sought this as a tool to show donors where their money is going, mission mapping now becomes that, plus it gives us an accountability structure to know what each one of the missionaries is doing in the variety of countries that they are working. So essentially, every morning I get a report that talks about the 20 countries that we're working in, what was done the day earlier, with exact GPS positions, coordinates, timestamps, and photographs of the people that have been served.
Amen. That is similar to what we do, Eve, but what they do like in a square mile, they go out and do that individually, looking for that person of peace and putting it like in a block. It could be a neighborhood. And I'm saying this not just for information, but that may be a strategy that a local church could use even in our day today, that they find that and they can go around and find out what those needs are and do everything you can to bring like living water, like you guys bring clean water, find a need and let it be a ministry tool to share the gospel. That's great news, Guy. Another thing that I noticed that I was reading about, and I hope I say it right, the Kiberia Slums Campaign. Did I say that correctly, Kiberia?
Well, close enough, Bert. It's the Kiberia slum.
Kiberia? Okay, gotcha.
Yes, sir. It's a 3-square-mile area within Nairobi, Kenya. It's been there for about 40 years. It's generally considered no man's land because the people that are there, the indigenous people that live there, they don't own the land. Really, the government owns the land, but it's considered an informal settlement. And it's approximately 408,000 people living within 3 square miles. The average income of a home there is roughly $26 per month. Average home size is 8x8, 10x10, rusty metal walls, stucco, no permanent electricity, no permanent running water. And there's only 78 latrines to serve 408,000 people. And God has called us to that place to deliver hope.
Well, it's near Nairobi, Kenya, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, what's amazing here on our program, Exploring Missions, Nathan, who helps host this, works for Vapor Ministries, who helps supply water there in Kenya. That's exciting. I'm glad I asked you about that because Kenya is a very important area there in Africa, and a lot of people, a lot of needs, and we're going to pray. So put that on your prayer list. Those of you who are listening, to be praying for that ministry, the whole thing. Well, tell us something else. Is any else on your radar? Is there something else that's coming up next?
In December of 2024, we just finished that Kibera slum project, which means that we put a water filter, a life-saving water filter, in 81,777 homes. That was about a $4.8 million project to complete that in 3 years, Bert. And we had 100 indigenous missionaries and pastors that were called to that work. And in that process, these people became extremely efficient and well-trained with what they do based on the volume of work that they did. And we didn't want to say goodbye to them. So over the last few years, we've been praying where that team would go next. And through a God-sized ripple, we were introduced to a slum about 20 minutes from there called the Kawangwari slum. And that place, we thought it was going to be smaller, but after assessing it for several months, we found out that there's 152,000 homes in that place compared to Kibera, which was 81,000 homes. So January 1st of this year, that team that was working in Kibera moved over to Kawangwari, and they are now serving a population of about 700,000 people. And I think the really exciting part of this, Bert, is we deeply enjoy a quote by Henry Blackaby that he says, watch and see where God is working, enjoying him in his work. And
let me stop you right there. Keep your thought. Those are you are listening. Do you hear the ministry of the Bucket Ministry? It's working. God is moving. Is God calling you to join them? That's the whole idea. It could be joining them specifically, or it could be say, you know, I could make a difference where I am. But what a quote that is. Now, I hope I didn't interfere with your thought too much, Chris, but I just wanted to say, hey, we want to apply this to the people who are listening, not just as information, but also a challenge. Can you go ahead, start where you were? I'm not sorry, interrupted. I wanted to say that, but go ahead.
All good.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
So that Henry Blackaby quote, watch and see where God is working and join him in his work. And the way we know that God is working in Kawangwari is it will cost roughly $8.3 million to complete delivering hope to 152,000 homes. And that is generational hope. That is having clean water for the next 22 to 25 years for each one of those 152,000 families and preaching the gospel in every single home. And while $8.3 million is a lot of money, I mean, let's just be honest, that's a ton of money. God has already provided $4 million of that $8.3 million that we needed before we started.
Amen.
So you don't have to look very far and see where he's already working. And he is working in the Kawangwari slum in Nairobi, Kenya. And we're trusting and we're confident he will provide the rest of those resources.
Well, let's go to practicality. We've already, the next two questions has to do with those people who are listening. If someone wanted to say, how much would it cost me to provide one of these gifts to a family, have you got close to how much that would be?
Yeah, Bert, thank you for that question. And so, again, we love that this ministry is not just about giving people water filters. The hope is generational impact, transformation through the filter, but also through a relationship with Christ. And that changes families, it changes communities. And so to partner with us, for us to provide a bucket, a filter, a Bible in their language, and then to do the three follow-ups that we do with every family, on average around that world, that costs us $53 per family. So to put that in perspective, what it costs me to take my family of five out to fast food these days, you can provide a generation of clean water and a proclamation of the gospel in their home.
And the Bible they receive is in their heart language, right, guys?
That's absolutely right. So one of the pieces that we do whenever we assess a community is we check and we see the language needs, but also the literacy needs. And so we utilize whatever technologies and strategies we can, whether that be print Bibles, whether that be digital Bibles. It's so interesting, in many of these places that we serve, they don't have clean water, and they don't have permanent electricity in their home, and yet they have a smartphone. And so increasingly, we are able to download digital Bibles, audio Bibles for them. We have partners with solar-powered Bible companies that we're able to put a Bible in their hands. And so often, you know, whenever we're a media-rich ministry and we love sharing stories, and so often the imagery we get back, you see a person sitting in their home and they're clutching that Bible that they received. It's become such a lifeline and such a transformative thing for them. And so, yes, we love being able to engage people in the language that is their heart language.
Yeah. Well, the Bucket Ministry, if someone says, I want to partner with you as an individual, is there a way by which they can partner with you?
Yeah, I think the very best way to do that, Bert, is to start that journey on our website, which is thebucketministry.org, thebucketministry.org. And on that website, they will be able to see a variety of ways to get engaged. And it's much more than writing a check. It's much more than a donation. So we're actively searching prayer partners, prayer warriors that would pray over the organization. We're searching for people that want to go into the field and see the work happening at the ground level. We're searching for people that will become storytellers and talk about what God's doing around the world through this water filter. And then, of course, we're searching for people to get engaged financially.
Well, I know you mentioned 20 countries. I'm not going to ask you necessarily to name all of them, but could you give us a partial list? That way, even now, people can say, Lord, help these countries as they receive these water filters and the gospel, that you'd bring fruit. What are some of those countries?
Yes, sir. It is in North America, Mexico, Dominican Republic, and Haiti. In South America, we have Brazil, Peru, and Colombia. In Africa, we're working in Sierra Leone, Ghana, Nigeria, Uganda, Kenya, and South Africa. And in Asia, we are working in India and Philippines.
When you give that list and you see where they are located in North America, Africa, and in Asia, those are the areas where this is third world countries. This is a difficult situation, many of it tropical. What an opportunity this is. Chris, Matt, give us a last word of encouragement of what God is doing around the world. Matt, would you go first?
Sure. It's something that's such a beautiful thing to get to be a part of what God is doing around the world. And one of my favorite quotes on mission is from Emil Brunner, who said that the church exists by mission as fire exists by burning. Yeah. And when I first heard that, it took me a minute to let that sink in, because I asked the question, well, what is a fire if it's not burning? And then I realized his point. What is a church if it's not on mission? Well, I don't know, but it's probably not the church that God called us to be a part of. And what I've found as we invite people to be part of what God is doing in our local communities and around the world, it is a challenging task. There is a lot of difficulty in this world and being part of the mission of God. And yet, whenever you give your life to that, I believe that when Jesus was talking to his followers, and John records it in John 10:10, he speaks to the harshness of the world and says that the enemy is coming to steal, to kill, to destroy you. But I have come that you may have life. But he doesn't stop there. He takes that next moment and he says that you might have abundant life. And that's not just eternal, that is also here. And so for those who would give their lives to following Jesus, I believe that we get to experience a fullness of life that is not possible without understanding and fully surrendering to what God has for us. But when we do, we get to see the world changed. And so I would encourage and invite these listeners to, if there's something that is burdening you, that you have this drive, this passion, to go all in and to follow Jesus, because it is worth it to experience that abundant life.
Amen. Well said, brother. Chris, that trip that you took with your daughter in 2012 to Brazil, was it worth it?
It was, and it still is, Bert. And I will tell you, I think the greatest encouragement I could leave with today is just other people hearing this message about a bunch of ordinary people seeing a problem and being obedient to God's calling on their life and finding a solution for that problem. I would just hope that maybe there's just that one person that's listening today that is sitting on the couch and has witnessed a problem somewhere around the world. They're saying to themselves, hey, listen, I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm uneducated. I'm untrained. What can I do? I just hope that that person hears this story of what God has done through some pretty ill-equipped, ordinary people and how we were able to meet His will with our obedience and start to be part of solving a problem of water and the gospel around the world. I just hope that person hears that and then is motivated from that and has enough motivation to get off the couch and get into the game.
Amen. Chris, would you do something for me? Would you thank your daughter for going to the Amazon and taking you with her?
Absolutely. I hope she's listening today, but Savannah, I am so grateful that you came home that day, said you wanted to go on this trip. I am so proud of that step that you took, because that helped me grow in my faith. I'm even happier that we get to work together every single day.
Amen. And I'm also thankful for that little lady on the Amazon that offered you the water to wake us up. Thank you, brother. Our guest has been Christopher Beth, Matt Arnett from the Bucket Ministry. Thank you guys for being with us. But let me remind all of you who are listening, if you just got part two and did not get part one of this interview, you can go to afr.net, look at podcast, and look for Exploring Missions, and you'll see part one of the Bucket Ministry. Thank you for being with us here today on Exploring Missions, and may God continue to guide you into what He wants you to do and be as a servant of Christ.